Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. It is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you this morning that we can come here to just talk to you, to just converse with you. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God who hears, Lord, and that you want us to come meet you, Lord. So I pray that you meet us here today, Lord, as we read your word and as we talk to you, Lord. And we just thank you for your love. We thank you for this day. We pray all this in your Son's most precious name. Amen. All right, so from the start of Philippians 3, let us introduce what Philippians is. Philippians is a letter written by Paul to the people in Philippi, as the title said. So what's happening in Philippi at this moment is that what Paul is writing is to write against some false teachings. And when the false teachings we can see here in chapter 3 were of those of the Judaizers. So the Judaizers were a group of Jewish Christians in the early church who held that circumcision and the observance of the Mosaic law were necessary for salvation, and thus wished to impose them on the Gentile converts in the various Pauline communities. In Paul's eyes, the Judaizers were a group of false teachers attempting to impose on his communities the burdens of Mosaic law. So basically what's happening is that as Christianity was growing in the early church, there were some Jews who were adamant that Gentile believers, so people who were outside of the Jewish communities, had to become like a Jew first before being able to be saved. And that is definitely not the case, as Paul writes, and therefore he was really angry by looking at his choice of words at these kind of people who were preaching a false gospel. And so therefore, in this book, we see that Paul wants to show these believers like the actual truth, which is faith, which is their righteousness is in Christ and not in the works. And so how Paul shows that is through using himself as a description, as we see in verses 4 to 6. He says, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, and in regards to the law, a Pharisee, and zeal, persecuting church, and righteousness based on the law, faultless. And so Paul was a perfect example of a Jew. And he says, even though I am the perfect Jew, I count all these as loss. In verse 7, he says, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. And so, Philippians 3 actually is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Why? Because I think I relate to Paul quite a bit. So I'm going to talk about my own equivalent-ish in a way. And so I was born into a missionary family. When I was two, we moved to Asia for my dad to go to seminary. And so from a very young age, I was brought up in a very Christian family. I grew up as a pastor's kid. I knew Bible stories from the front to back. If you asked me like random trivia about a Bible, I could probably tell you. And then after that, growing up, I went to Bible school for college. I learned how to study the Bible. I learned how to read verses, how to go into the original text. And then I went to ministry from around 15 to 16, where I worked in missionary kids camps. And then I mentored other younger kids and stuff like that. And then now I'm going into, or I'm in ministry as a profession, so I'm working at church. Though compared to Paul, he says, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless, I can't really say that for myself. But anyway, so I like all these things from young, from when I was born all the way till now, it's like I have this pedigree. Like my dad was a missionary. My grandparents were like very strong Christians, at least from my dad's side. And then all these things build up actually count as nothing if I did not know Christ. I could memorize the whole Bible and it would be counted as nothing if I did not know Christ. And that is basically what Paul is saying. And so Paul says that all that, it matters not. It's not only that it matters not, it's a loss. Now, this is actually a concept that was strange to me when I first read it. Okay, so basically what I thought was, wait, so all these things are worthless. Okay, maybe I get, but how can it be loss, right? It must have helped something, right? And so I'm going to use an analogy, the kind of analogy that Paul likes to use. And I know my analogies are not perfect, but please bear with me. And so say you were in a race, right? So you were running, I don't know how it doesn't really matter how far or how fast you're running. You're in a race and you want to win. Obviously, there's only one winner. And then you pass by, you're running, you look past and you saw a $100 bill on the ground. It could have been anything. Just say it's $1 million bill on the ground. There's no $1 million bills, but you get my point. And so now $1 million is not worth nothing, right? But if you were to go out of your way to go pick up that $1 million, you would have lost the race. Now, I know this is not a perfect analogy, but I think it works pretty well in this context. So say the price of the race is knowing Christ. And then that $1 million could actually be anything. It could even be $1 billion for what it's worth. What Paul is saying is that all these things, like what he achieved, the prestige, the knowledge, the righteousness in law, all that he achieved, all that these things, no matter how good they could be, if that he did not win that race and get the prize of knowing the Lord, all these things are a loss. And so I think, now I don't know about you guys, but for me, I actually think that is awesome. I'm really glad this is the case, because if I were to have to memorize the whole Bible just to be counted righteous, I don't think I can do it. So that's why I'm really glad that this is the case, that knowing Jesus trumps everything else. Because it is only in Jesus we have righteousness that comes from God. And by being found in Jesus, we have this righteousness as described in verse 9. Be found in him, Jesus, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. And so, as I continue reading the verses, there is a very interesting point in verse 10 and 11. It says, this is the NIV, it says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Now, what is Paul saying in verse 11? If you notice, he adds the word somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. I'm going to read from the NASB. Maybe it might be a little, it makes it even more confusing. So it says from chapter 3, verse 10, it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, it's kind of confusing here. What is Paul saying? Is Paul saying that we will not get the resurrection of the dead? Because Paul in his previous letters, and I thought that we already, by believing in Christ, have attained this thing. Why is Paul still talking about this? And so, I'm not sure, like most people who study the Bible do when they meet a very difficult question, I went to Google. And so there is actually a little difference if you compare verse 10 and verse 11. The words resurrection appear twice, once in verse 10, once in verse 11. But they're actually different words in Greek. And so in verse 10, the resurrection, by the power of his resurrection, Jesus' resurrection, that word is anastasis. That word appears 40 times or 42, describing rising from the dead, that of Christ, of men at the end of this present age, or the resurrection of certain ones in history who were restored to life. That was in Hebrews 11. Or raising up or rising from a seat. Now, the word in verse 11 is exanastasis. It only appears once in the Bible. And the translator have also translated it into the same word for resurrection. Now, because it's a different word, scholars have proposed that it's a different thing that Paul is writing about. So, what is he writing about? So, we have to look into the context. So the verse following it in verses 12 to 16, let's read it. So, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal of the prize of the outward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. So there is this something that needs to be attained that would help us receive this prize at the end. Now, don't worry, it's not salvation. That we are assured of. And so there is something else that we are working towards, as according to Paul here, which I believe, and that prize is something that we should all be striving for. So it doesn't mean that once we have attained salvation, that is it, and then we're done, and then we can live however we like. What Paul writes here is talking about, there are more steps to attain this prize, which we still need to strive for. And so, as we continue down into the chapter, there is something, well, let's just read. In verse 17, it says, join together in the following of my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you even again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious bodies. So even here we see that our transformation is based on Jesus, and that like in our lives now, as is like 2,000 years ago, even now it's really relevant. People don't live as we're supposed to. And so we're supposed to be following example. Paul writes to for the believers then to follow his example. We could still follow his example through his writings. But I think here Paul is proposing that as he has lived however long in his journey as a follower of Christ, he wants people to look at him. So us, as a community of Christians, we should be also either looking to bring others to live more like Christ or look to others to live more like Christ. And so for me, I think this is like a call to mentorship. So what does that mean? It means you live with what you have experienced and help others who are either less mature or like who are newer to this relationship with Christ to come to a better relationship with Christ, and at the same time look for someone who is already further in that journey to follow their examples. And so I'm gonna do a shameless plug for the youth. And so what you guys can do maybe is to find a youth to mentor. Like, we have quite a few at church, and so if you feel like it, well, not if you feel like it, you're called to it. And so you guys, I'm sure you guys are more mature in the walk than they are, and so if you guys could like go to them and then just ask them out for lunch, a meal, coffee, and just like just share your life and how you walk. It doesn't even have to be the youth. I'm just saying the youth because they're obviously a younger group, but if you know people who are newer in the walk, it is a call from Paul to just go out and show them how you walk. Or if you're new, you could go to people who are already, or who you know are already have been walking in the way, and ask them for a meal, a drink, and ask them how they have been living their walk. This is actually something that would help you in your own walk. And so as we go to worship, let us pray and just ask, just thank God first that it doesn't matter what we do, that our righteousness is counted in Christ alone. And also pray to see if there's someone you could mentor or there's someone you can ask to be mentored by. Till
Spirit and truth, only you. Give me a childlike heart. Lead me to where you are. I'm coming back to my first love, only you. You're the
Yes, Lord, we love you, and we just adore you, we worship you, we praise you, Lord, because you're worthy. And Lord, we just thank you that we are counted righteous in you and in nothing else, Lord. Everything and anything else we count as loss, Lord, because you are worth so, so much more, Lord. And we just pray that we... Lord, it's difficult, Lord, not to look at other things, but Lord, we just pray that we strive to only have a heart that longs after you. And Lord, we just pray that you will help us do that, Lord. We just pray that you would allow us to see only you, Jesus, as the only way to righteousness, Lord. Nothing else, Lord, in our actions, in our thoughts. And Lord, we just thank you that this is the case because, Lord, we know that on our own strength, there is nothing we can do. Lord, we fall, we sin. There really is nothing we can do without you, Lord. So we pray, Lord, that we just grasp onto this promise that you are the only way to righteousness. And Lord, you are the only way to righteousness. There's nothing else we need to do. And so, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that this be a constant reminder, Lord, that we want to live for you and you alone. So, Lord, just help us. And so, let's go into our community prayers. Let's pray for those who are battling cancer or going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Just pray that God's mercy and his healing hands be upon them. And let us pray for those with illnesses and have not yet known God as their personal Savior. Let's pray for their healing, both physically and spiritually. Let's pray for those in our church with other illnesses that God would just heal them. Let's pray for those who are looking for jobs that God will be their provider. Let us go into our missions focus. Let's pray for Japan, Peace Sophia, and Cambodia, Grace and Oasis House of PGNEO. Let us pray for the Missions Council. Let us pray for God's direction in where He wants our church to partner in spreading His word. Let's pray for the local outreach, Igape, Homi, SP Light, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministry led by Cadence. Let's pray for wisdom for Cadence and for all the babies that are being fostered right now and more that needs families. Let's pray for families to step up. Let's pray for the Friday evening gatherings. We have SPU, SP Youth, IP, and GIC. Let's pray for God's presence in this building tonight. Let's pray for Hong Kong with everything that's going on right now. Let's pray for God's peace and God's wisdom for leaders and for just everybody involved. Let's pray for the mission trips, the one in Japan and also the one in Korea. Let's pray for God's covering over the team and for His protection over them. Lord, we just thank You because You are the God who listens to prayers and answers prayers. Lord, we just thank You, Lord, for You are the one who gathered us here, Lord. And we just thank You because You are the one that allowed us to become one family, Lord. And we just pray that as we go into our day, go into the weekend, Lord, we just pray that, Lord, that we never forget You are the reason and that You are the one who gives us strength, Lord. And so as we go through going to Friday, Lord, I just pray that You be with us and that You guide us in every step of our way, Lord. We love You and pray all this in Your Son's most precious name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of prayer time.